importance of developing relationship with the Holy Spirit. Very, very important that we do that. The scripture begins to tell us the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In our lives, in everything we do. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, therefore, I want you to understand this. It's not just to hear it, but to understand that no one speaking under the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit of God can ever say Jesus be cursed. Which means you can't speak evil word if the Spirit of God is guiding you. You can't speak wrong words if he is the one inspiring what you are saying, inspiring your teaching, your sermon, your Sunday school. You can't speak something evil that is wrong if he's the one. He takes hold of your tongue. And no one can really say Jesus is my Lord except by and under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. That teaches you that we just can't do anything without him. We're totally helpless without him. Completely helpless without him. And Jesus put it properly in John chapter 15, verse 5. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing is nothing, zero. You and I are helpless without the Holy Spirit. Without the Spirit of God, we can't bear fruit. We can't serve Jesus. We can't preach the gospel. We can't say Jesus is Lord. That's how helpless we are without him. When you extract him from a man, the man is mere flesh. And the flesh will profit us what? But actually, his spirit has no life. Just as the human body is dead without the human spirit, the human spirit is dead without God's spirit. That's why the Bible says that somebody is dead in sin and what? Trespasses. He doesn't have the spirit of Christ. He doesn't have life. That's why Jesus came, that you have life and have it what? More abundantly by receiving his spirit. So you can imagine how effective a corpse would be. That's exactly how a man is who doesn't have the Spirit of God. Because his spirit is dead. Dead. And all you can do is to check out what is happening in the world, that men are building gigantic things in history over years. They're all falling apart. All of them are falling apart. Because they're all product of human mind. And the Bible said, except the Lord builds, they that are building are building in vain. Because the scripture says, Jesus said, whatever my Father does not plant is going to be uprooted. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness therein. And so the human wisdom will take us too far. And so you can understand why people are spending billions going to a lifeless planet. You think that's wisdom? And people are hungry here. Students are taking loans to go to school. And they are spending billions to go to a rock that has no life. Never will have life. And they are going there looking for life. Isn't that foolishness? If you know how much they spend, if they stop that and invest that money here, all the student loans will be paid in 2 years. Nobody will go to school free. But they keep going. I think they are going again. Do you know the moon where they are going? In the night, the temperature is several degrees below zero. I think it's over 120 degrees. It's uninhabitable. And they keep going. And they'll be announcing it. We landed in Mars. Who are you looking for? That will tell you exactly what God is saying. The wisdom of man comes to what? Zero. It only promotes man's ego, man's pride, thinking he's God. So we cannot afford not to have intimacy with the Holy Spirit. He makes all the difference in our lives. John chapter 14, verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, the world cannot receive, the world cannot what? receive, because it seeth him not, doesn't see him, doesn't know him, neither knoweth him. But ye now, you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So the world cannot receive him, but we can, because we know him. The scripture says we know him, and he dwelleth in us, and he's with us. And so if he's dwelling in us and he's with us, we need to understand why he was given to us. It's so that we share our lives with him, since without him nothing happens. He's the one that God has given us to make things happen in our lives. So the scripture was telling the church about having communion of the Holy Spirit, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all, not some, with you all. Communion, sharing your time. That's what I was saying on Sunday or so, that when we talk of Holy Communion, what we're talking is we're sharing in the body of Christ. We're sharing in each other. You can't come to church and you're not talking to a Christian brother and you have communion. That's self-deceit, because you are sharing together with him. You're sharing together with him. Did you know you are in covenant with your brother and your sister? Did you know that? That when you came to Christ, we're in covenant with one another. So the idea that you don't talk to your brother and your sister, that's absolute ignorance. It shouldn't be mentioned. Because when you share communion, we're sharing the same body. Sharing. We're in fellowship. Fellowship is not sitting together. I'm telling you, you can sit, you can fill this place with people. Half of them are not in fellowship with one another. Fellowship is sharing. Fellowship is, you know, like a communal. Communion is from the word communal, community. What we're doing together. That's the word used here, that we should have a community with the Holy Spirit. I and him should live in community, in sharing, intimate sharing. And he is the boss. He is the boss. He is what? Now, one of the paradigms that we have, which we need to reverse, and I was telling them yesterday at the prayer meeting, is that we think that we are using the Holy Spirit. So we heard this idea of, I'm moving the hand of God. I move the hand of God. You must be something else. I'm moving God. Maybe I don't understand it fully well, but for God's sake, the scripture said, it is God that is at work where? In you. To make you to will, and you are not the one at work in God. To make him to will and to do. Can I explain it better? You are not the one at work in God. To make him to will and to do. God says, who gives me counsel? He said, I do what I... Only God can say, I will. The rest of us can't. The book of James said, if you say that, that's sin. Only God can say, I will. The rest of us will say, if it's God's will. Only God can say, I will. Because it's final authority. So we must understand this, brethren. I'm telling you this. Change that paradigm. I'm begging you. You are not the one at work in God to make him to will. Somebody thinks, I'm anointed. Because I'm anointed, I can do. I've been anointed to do. Get it. You are just a mere vessel. Always a vessel. He is the potter. Can I hear amen? You are praying. You are doing this. It's him. Not you. You're just a mere vessel. I'm preaching this. I'm just a mere vessel. He said at that hour, I will put my word well or not. He's the one. Mere vessel. Completely depend. How does your plate depend on you? If you go home now, your plate will jump up and say, hey, are you back? He said, I'm going to sleep in the bedroom tonight. You sleep in the couch. You are going to call the cops and call Pastor Chinedu and say, my plate is talking to me. Brethren, you know, old habits die hard. This is a paradigm of the church. They think that the Holy Spirit is at their beck and call. Especially when we think we are serving God. You're serving who? God is using you to serve himself. So I'm senior pastor here. That one's crazy. My friend, you're just a pastor. You're just a human being. You're just a member. The Spirit of God is the one using you in that role. And he's using him in his role. He's using you in another role. Using you in this role. Using you in this role. The Bible says the same Spirit, different administrations. But it's the same Spirit. Some pastor, some this. The same Spirit that's working in all and all. He is the one. Change this paradigm. You are not using him. He's the one at work in you to will and to do. So if you will and do, ask him. You can't take credit for what he's doing. Don't try that. Always know. Always understand that your life is in his what? His hand. And Jude 1:24. Jude 1. Now unto him that is able to keep you from what? So he's keeping you from falling. Talk to me now. You don't know. Who is keeping you from falling? It's the Spirit of God. The Bible says we are kept by the power of God. The Holy Spirit keeps me and keeps you from falling. And if he's keeping me from falling, how can it be me using him? He's the one that is keeping me. He's the one that is helping me. He's the one that is guiding me. He's the one that is teaching me. I can do all things through his strength that he gives me. So I'm not using him. He's doing what he came to do through. I'm just a mere vessel. Look at this scripture, Acts chapter 17, verse 25. Acts 17:25. Neither is worshipped with men's what? Hands. He's not worshipped by the hands of men. He's not worshipped by the hands of men. As though he needed anything. Seeing he's the one that gives all what? Life, activities. He gives all our life and breath and all things. We're not using him. He's using us. You must change that paradigm this night. Thinking I'm God, see how much I'm serving you. Really, you should thank God and say, Lord, I'm so grateful that you are using me in this service. It's not God. See, what I do, I'm serving God right all over. No. To God be all the glory. He gave me privilege, that God is giving me opportunity, that God made. Paul said he made me part of this ministry. He called me and made me part of it. He says, everything I'm doing, is the grace of God. See, it's the grace of God. So you stop looking at yourself as a big shot and say, I'm the one doing this thing. I'm doing this. Nobody is doing. No, sir. If you are doing, thank him that's even using you more. After all, that's the purpose of our life. When we get this, we stop comparing. Say, hey, nobody, no, only me. Do and give him glory. Do it now. Keep doing. The day of reward, you cut everything yourself. Just keep doing. Just keep doing. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Keep doing. Just keep doing. Forget about who do. If you come, if you are the only one sweeped. Brother, I don't want to tell you about my life. I don't know all this about looking for people. I don't know about. I didn't learn all those things. I didn't learn all those things. You know, when we were at 117, I used to go and clear snow. Me and my children, I carry them, will come. I don't know if some of you ever saw me. Eh? Am I telling you? Saw me? I used to come and carry. I wouldn't tell anybody. I'll just come with. We just come and clear the car. It was one day. I don't know who found out. They say, Pastor, is there nobody else that can do this? I said, I don't care. No, don't mean nothing to me. I found it a privilege. That my life is being used by God. It's such a rewarding stuff. Man, I'm telling you, that's the greatest blessing found that God gave me health And I'm not going like this. I don't have prostate problem. I don't have headache. I don't wear glasses. My teeth are slugged. And you're telling me God is using those, giving me that strength to serve him. You tell I'm complaining? Are you serious? Supposing that I can't walk? Supposing that I'm limited? I'm not limited. I eat whatever I like. Isn't it the mercy of God? And they're telling me I'm not going to clear snow when I can do that. Are you serious? Why did he give me health for? Acts 7:47. But Solomon built him a what? An house. 48. Howbeit, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with what? Hands. As the prophet says, the next one. 49. Heaven is what? My throne. And earth is my... So he asked a question. What house will you build for me? You say you are serving me. What are you building for me? That won't hear. What are you building for me? He says, says the Lord, what is the place of my rest? You say you are preparing for me. Then look at the next thing. Has my hand not what? Made this thing. I'm the one doing it, not you. It's me. So before you think, see all I'm doing, my friend, think twice. It's a privilege to serve Jesus. It's a blessing. It's an honor. You want to have it. Even David said, get mad is good. I see this girl, what's her name? Kezia and Ugo, and when I come in here, the joy will quit the sweep here. When I see her sweeping, I want to sweep. You know, somebody can do something with such joy, you want to join. I mean, I'm looking both of them. I'm going, wow, this is amazing. This is really, really. No murmuring, nothing. Why should you murmur? Are you not the one singing, I have Jesus, the Son of God. Why should I cheer and what should I murmur? How many of us murmur? You won't tell, So, we're not the ones. He said, has my hand not made what? All this, so why, Solomon, what house are you building me? I'm the one doing all of this. I'm just using it as a vessel. I can remove you and put somebody else. You see this pastor, why? God can take me out and go and bring somebody else. Make, anoint him, give him everything. He does more. He uses him more. Everything you see happening is not Chinedi manner. Everything you see happening is the Holy Spirit glorifying Jesus. Case closed. Nothing to do with it. I know that much. When I come to church, I'm a member. That's the seat you people gave me. They stay there and be worshiping like you. If I know it's ministering, I'm interested. I want to be blessed. If somebody is up here, I want to hear. I want to be blessed. I want to learn. I learn from so many people. When I tell them you are teaching me, they think it's a lie. I like to observe people because you learn a lot observing people. If you want to grow fast, observe life. Jesus taught us to observe. He said, observe even the ants. What else did he say we should observe? Apart from the ants? The birds. If I should observe ants and birds, shouldn't I observe human beings? You should learn. There are certain things I say, what? I say, that's the way I used to be. Wow. That's not the route to go. You wouldn't know I make a mental and I say, this doesn't look so good. Man, I used to be like that. I don't know where to talk. You wouldn't know, I keep quiet. But I'm learning, storing up information from practical things happening all over the place. Opportunities to learn abound, but we don't look. You learn from everything. Good, bad, and ugly. Praise the Lord. Am I communicating to you? If you agree, shout hallelujah. So it is very imperative for us as Christians that we must know this spirit that is using you. Very important. uses you as a husband, as a wife. He will use you, may he can use you to bring great blessings on your husband, on your wife. I'm not kidding you. He can use you to bring incredible blessings on your children, on a visitor that visits you. He can use you to do stuff that is beyond, is mind-boggling what he can do with simple things. What I said to the Lord, I said, if you can use any useless thing, please, I'm available. I'm not worth much. You know? He can use, mere words you speak to a friend can pull him out of debt. Can pull him out of depression. Can healing mustn't be in church. Healing, every Christian has, is can you be used by God to heal anywhere, anytime. There are words you tell somebody, it brings, it suits his heart and pulls him out of emotional bondage that the devil kept him there all the time. Words that the Spirit inspires, you don't even know what's going on. But here you are saying those things and the person is listening. And when you leave, he takes it from there and starts talking to him about what you said. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Come on, I said, praise the Lord. You know, I went somewhere with somebody. It's a conference we went. And I woke up early praying. I didn't know he was watching me. I thought he was sleeping. So in the morning, he said, Pastor, you were praying for me. My heart broke. Say, you didn't sleep for me. So I saw you. I thought he didn't see me. And the thing, his life went. I mean, incredible, not only church sitting, what he can use you to do, even your place of work. He can change that place of work because of you. Bring influence, turn it, spin it around. He has incredible power, limitless ability. He's only looking for a yielded vessel who will cooperate with him. One man can transform. The Bible says that the disciples turned the whole world what? Upside down. With the power of the Spirit of God. Do we complain? My wife is this, my husband is like that. Is that what the Spirit of God called you to do? There's one girl in the village. She was so bad, so notorious. And I've traveled to the village was, and my uncle's wife woke me early in the morning, saying, "Ma," he said, "why don't you take this girl to Lagos?" I said, "Really?" He said, "This God that changed you, can he not change her?" I'm not joking. He said, "The man, God changed you, can he not change this girl?" I said, I'm going with her. The first night we came, we were doing prayer. He said, "I'm not coming out. I won't pray. I will tell you the type of person I'm talking about. I'm not praying." He said, "Lala, you see, I'm not praying. I'm not coming." Today, she's married with children. I can tell you stories upon stories. I live with a witch. I didn't know it was a witch. But God brings them your way, not so that you abuse them. God brings them your way so that we use you to touch them. Change them. It's not to go to people and say, sister, I live with a witch. You know that girl that who lives with me? Come nearer, let me tell you. Now, wow, please be praying for me. That prayer is not going to work. That's not why he didn't bring the person for you to destroy, speak evil about them. He brought the person so that with compassion, he can use you to effect a change. And it's the cheapest thing you can do. So transform your life. If you understand, then shout hallelujah. So the Bible says we must know him. Jesus said we should know him. And so Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 is a place that we know. It says trust in the Lord with what? Church, come on. With all. And lean not unto your own. If you live with a witch, the first understanding is to fight or tell people, do all these things people do. You won't go to the Holy Spirit and say, why did you bring this person here? You have a purpose for this. And how do you want to approach this? I'm available, Lord. How do you want to approach it? Do you know, if somebody's, there's a few that work in hospitals. If somebody is violent, is it not people that hold them down? I'm asking. Do you know in life, you deal with people who are violent. I'm not talking about, who are not really where you are. It's somebody that God will send now. Somebody will be at the brunt. Somebody has to go there and begin declining the distance. God has to send somebody. And if somebody is doing that, don't you know that certain things will affect you? It will vomit, it will do those, but God will clean you up. But finally, the person will be all right. If we all run away from people because they're not like the way we think, who will go for God? Who will God send? So he says, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, do what? Acknowledge him and he shall direct. Do you know Josh Mayer? Many of you listen to her. The husband went to God and said, Lord, give me a wife, I will help. And he married Josh Mayer. And it wasn't long, he went back to God and said, why did you give me this type of a woman? Josh Mayer was almost impossible. You know, those are the ones that God uses. The ones that accept their nothing. So, and God said to her, to him, are you not the one that came to me and asked me to give you somebody to help? I gave you somebody to help. So here you are. Do your job. I don't know the story. They said the first few years was the man saw Pepe. But where is Josh Mayer today? If somebody has to bear the brunt, that's what I'm saying. We can't all run away. I'm not working with this sister. It makes trouble. My friend, go there. He said, I will send you a sheep among the wolves so that the wolf can be made a sheep. Go there and rejoice and say, Lord, I'm available. And when you come, the sister will say, look at you. Call yourself a Christian. Can't join this ministry. In fact, I'm not talking to you again. Say, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to suffer for your name's sake. After all, when they flogged Peter, he went home dancing. You go and say, Lord, I'm so grateful, Lord. Whoa, fellowship of your suffering. You suffered for me to be changed. You went to the cross, died terribly, so I'll be changed. This is nothing. I'm so grateful, Lord. I'll go back to her tomorrow. I'll greet her. She doesn't talk to me. I keep going there. You did more. You gave your life for me to be changed. What is this one? Why should I run away? I'll see her tomorrow. I'll go and greet her. Sister, how are you? That's your... You go back and say, Lord, I'm so grateful, Lord. Paul was craving it. Paul said, I want to know the suffering. I want to know the what? Eh? To share in his suffering. He said, this thing brings suffering, though. He said, you'll be persecuted for living righteously. He said, yeah, I'm ready for it. I want to share in it. So I conform to his death. So I be like, live the same life like him. We run away. Who will God use? That's what. You think God will send you to only the best people in this world? You are joking. Once you get matured, he's sending you to the difficult ones. They are coming. No run away from it. They will come and hear the... Because you are the one who can lay down your life. The same way he laid down his life to change you, you laid down your life so he can change. And somebody, they lash you with their tongue. Hey, like you are not a human being. Lash you like this. But they flog Jesus too. He said, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they are doing now. That's the way you can. You can look, if he start using you, he uses in a way that is sometimes not formal. It's unusual, but the result is always fantastic. The same person one day will come and say, my brother, I'm so sorry for everything I did. Do you know this time I was watching you? But you didn't know he was watching. The Lord was showing him picture, and he will see the life of Christ. He will see the love of God. He will go home and be having a war in his heart. He wouldn't know. He will go home, he will battle. The Spirit of God is working on him. Because he's his child now, he wouldn't know. And God will send you again. I want you to see you. Show him love. but you are leaning onto your own. And then you go to all your carnal friends and you bring the person and tear him to shreds with your bad mouth. And wonder why things are not happening for you. Lean not onto your own understanding. Verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and then he shall direct your path. Then verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Praise the Lord. And so we're asked to trust the Spirit of God that he gave us and acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. But unfortunately, believers neglect him. Whether there's any Spirit of God that has been sent to us, we neglect him. We don't know him. We really don't recognize his voice. We don't know what he's doing. And sometimes when we think it's him, it's not him. Because we don't know his voice. We don't know him. Sometimes it's our mind telling us and we think he's God. We have not practiced consistently developing relationship with him. I was sent to the church. John chapter 14, 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be with you. He dwelleth with you, you, the church, and shall be with you, 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 the church. I will not leave you comfortless, I'll come to you. John 14, 26. But the Comforter, whom which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And the subject of this talk is you, the church. You. He will bring all things in remembrance to you. He will teach you all things. It's not talking about the world. It's talking about you, the believer. He will teach you. He will teach you to open your eyes so you see spiritual realities, so that the spiritual things that God is doing make sense to you. John chapter 16, verse 7. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. You, 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 the disciples, the followers of Jesus, not to the world. He came on the day of Pentecost. We know that on the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and they filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared upon unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and they sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And our Lord Jesus Christ began to acknowledge the role of the Holy Spirit in his own ministry. If he did that, then we have no option. We too have to have this testimony and acknowledge what he's doing in our lives. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor was come. The reason these things will happen is that the Spirit of the Lord is what? Upon me. So now, if our Lord Jesus Christ depended on the Spirit of God upon me, then don't you understand that you and I also have to depend on the Spirit of God upon us? So he makes sense, the plans of God. He makes sense, the works that Jesus accomplished to the believer, so that the believer will be able to preach them as the gospel. See, the scripture that says that he will convict the world of three things: of sin, because they don't believe in me; of righteousness, because I go to the Father; and of judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I'll take it another thing, but let me summarize it. Of sin, because they don't believe in me, because he's saying that if you don't believe I'm he, you will die in your sins. That's what Jesus said. Except a man is born again, he shall not see kingdom of God. If you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you die in your sins. Righteousness, because the first thing the gospel is revealing to mankind is that righteousness is now available. The Bible said that the law makes nothing perfect. So the law could not provide man righteousness or acceptance to God. So Jesus is saying that righteousness, because the first thing the gospel preaches, Paul said that the first revelation of the gospel is the righteousness of God, which is being now made available to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, that God is accepting people who believe in his Son. Because I go to my Father. The Bible says he entered heaven with his own blood to obtain an eternal redemption for us. He entered heaven as our great high priest to present his body. Every sacrifice must be brought to the altar. We saw it in the Old Testament that they will kill the animal outside the gate, outside the city, and Jesus died outside the city. And then they will bring the blood to the temple. And the Spirit of God told us Moses build this thing according to the pattern that is well in heaven. So Jesus died and he entered with his own blood the same way into the Holy of Holies as our great high priest. And the Bible says because of the blood and because we have this great high priest, we can now come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help us at the time of need. So he's saying, I'm going to the Father, I'm going to enter with my blood, I'm going to be your great high priest, so your acceptance is available. This is the acceptable year of the Lord, you know. So that's what he's telling them, that he's going to convict, is not to condemn. It's not to condemn. And then the judgment, because he defeated the devil. And we can't fear the devil anymore. We have been delivered from the hands of all that hate us and all of that. It's part of what he does. When you come to Christ, I'm the gospel, and then he reveals the gospel to the Christian. So the Christian understands this. So the Christian now goes to preach it to the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how you got saved. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. And so he reveals the richest treasures of heaven, which is stored in Christ. Look up here, brethren. The richest treasures of God is not physical things. Let me repeat that. If you think when the Bible talks of blessings of God and your mind goes to money, you are taking the least thing. The Bible called it uncertain riches. You are taking the least thing. You should take the certain riches, the sure riches of God, the spiritual things. Every time you are talking of I'm blessed in Christ, don't let your mind switch to jobs and wives and all those kind of things. That's where a lot of the songs we sing, where we come from. You know, it's about if you want a wife, he will give you. If you want money, he will give you. You know, your business will, of course, yes, it does. But brethren, all those things perish here on earth. They don't have eternal value. And Jesus said, don't follow me for things that what? Perish here. They have value, yes, but they have limited value. I've asked you a question here. Do you think money can heal cancer? Do you think anything physical can deliver a man from power of Satan, power of sin? Do you think anything physical can bring you out of the shame of sin and everything and bring you to glory? No. The real treasures of God are eternal treasures that is hidden in Christ. It's hidden in Christ because human mind cannot understand it. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal it to you because you are now born again. When you begin to understand these treasures and you go to pray, I was telling them yesterday, those are the things you begin to thank God for. For instance, somebody said, what manner of love, what is this, that we should be called to him? This is amazing. Amazing that it's called the child of God. You know, so the Spirit of God reveals to us the richest treasures of heaven. Tell your neighbor what I said. He reveals to us the richest treasures of heaven. Say it again. And these riches are found only in Christ. Now, the good thing is that these are the riches. When you embrace them and live with them, the physical ones also follow you and overtake you. In 1 Corinthians 2:7. 1 Corinthians 2:7. 2, not 5. But we speak the wisdom of God in a... Why mystery? If it's mystery, why talk? Why speak it? It's mystery because human mind cannot understand it. So in a mystery, even hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our own what? For our own glory, not for our own shame. It's ordained for your glory. It's ordained for your glory. And if it's ordained for your glory, it's important that you have communion with the Holy Spirit to reveal these things for you. Otherwise, you will miss out the glory of God you are supposed to enjoy. Now, Colossians 2:2, I'm going to read Message. Colossians 2:2. I want you woven, that's Message. I want you woven into a... Now we're in trouble. Can anybody translate in Igbo? What is tapestry? Nkata. Somebody says will I also teach English? What is tapestry? A raft? You know how you weave something into. So he's saying that I want you woven into the tapestry of his love. We want you to take you and weave you into, interact with it, it becomes one with you. The tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know of God. Then you will have minds confident and at rest. Focused on who? Christ. God's great mystery. Focused on who? Christ. God's great mystery. When we come to talk about Paul, you will see why Paul was way off, way above many. It was because his focus was always on Christ. If you want to see the Spirit of God work in your life, awesome. Keep your focus on Jesus. You will see wonders in your life. If you keep focusing on your troubles and other people, this will tell me this. All you talk about is somebody told me this. You will see much. Your mind is scattered all over the place. You focus on Christ. Focus on Christ, God's great mystery. Verse 3. All the richest treasures of wisdom and knowledge are embedded in that mystery and nowhere else. And we've been shown the mystery. Brethren, let me give you an example. You come. I'll give you an example. Somebody is very sick. And you say, in Jesus' name, be what? And they think, do you know the treasure you have? Do you know the treasure God gave you? Doctors don't have it. Medicine can't produce it. Science can't produce it. You have something. Peter said, such as I have, give I thee. What I have will make you stand and walk. You haven't walked all your life. But I have a treasure that I want to deploy right now. It is called faith in Christ. I have Christ. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up, what? And walk. And then explain, he said, it is faith in Christ that made him to walk. I know what he gave me. He gave me access to his power, the authority in his name. He gave me a treasure that can make people rise and walk. Every Christian has it. Come on, church. Every Christian has it. I mean, well, let me ask you. Put that one on one side and put $1 million on one side. Which one is greater? With that $1 million making, some people are laughing at $1 million. If they give you $1 million, it may not last 1 year. If you don't know how to make money, you won't know how to keep it. Period. People won lottery. Today, they are broke. If you don't know how to make money and replenish, I'm not joking. It won't be 2-3 years, you're broke. Completely broke. Because for you to keep that $1 million, you must know how to keep regenerating to make it. But this one you have is permanently yours. Okay, how about the authority you have that you can say a thing, it shall be established for you? Come Come on, church, think about it. That you can come and decree something and it happens. We talk of power. We don't know what we have. The richest treasures of heaven is with you. Christ in you, of glory. You. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. Church, I said praise the Lord. Do you have the riches of heaven? Shout hallelujah. Verse what? All the richest treasures of wisdom and knowledge are embedded in that mystery and nowhere else. You can't find it outside of Jesus. You can't speak, you can't lay hands on the sick or anything else outside. It's by faith in Christ. It's in Christ you have all these things. Embedded in that mystery and nowhere else. And we have been shown the mystery, which is Christ in you. Then verse 4. Oh, I'm telling you this because I don't want anyone leading you off on some wild goose chase. Anything outside of Jesus, there's nothing there you have. All these things, all this religion that comes from people who don't know Christ, who don't know God, who don't know the Holy Spirit, comes from human mind. All these religious things we do, that we think when we do that, then we move God. No. It's not the truth. God already moved in Christ. And when God moved, he said, it is finished. Peter came around and said, yeah, faith in him now will change things in this life. And he says, I'm telling you this because I don't want anyone leading you off on some wild goose chase after other so-called mysteries or the secret. I'm a long way off, true, and you may never see the eyes on me, but believe me, I'm on your side, right beside you. I'm delighted to hear of the careful and orderly ways you conduct your affairs and impressed with the solid substance of your faith in Christ. Solid substance of your faith in Christ. Continue to verse. I think that's where I stop. Praise the Lord. Am I here alone? Am I shooting over your head? Do you get what I'm saying? I think I'll stop here. On Thursday, we'll continue. I want to go from here and show you when we go, the Lord will reveal to us how the early church is so different from today's church and why we don't get results like they did. It will surprise you how intimate they were with the Holy Spirit. And they will give testimonies about him, about what he's doing, what he's telling them. They were incredibly intimate with him. And they depended on him for everything. And the result was beyond human imagination. Today, we depend on meetings and planning, those kind of things. They are good and wonderful, but except the Lord builds, waste of time. Thank you, Lord. Any questions? Any contribution? Any observation? You have any questions? Any contribution? We're still going to talk about how to develop intimacy and all that. All these things are just bringing us to the thing, trying to show us exactly what he's supposed to be doing in our lives. Gradually, we go to. Do you know this is the thing we started last year? Huh? And I was in Newark. This is amazing. In another service, and the Lord said to me, you continue with that team. And then when we came, he said, you didn't do justice to that team last year, so you continue. I want you to focus on the Holy Spirit. That's all. I said, really? Say, yeah. They don't know him. They're struggling. Well, they shouldn't be struggling. It's the power I gave them. They're ignoring him. You are ignoring him too. Any questions? You see, this thing for the year, you don't just announce emotional themes. This is your year of prosperity, year of wonders, We bring a thing we want to focus on throughout the year and teach on it from scripture so that you grow knowing that and be grounded in it. It's not emotional here, or this is your year of a divine. Every year is your harvest. Every year. But we want to focus on something the Spirit of God wants us to learn and study so that by December, you would have been grounded in that area of study. Okay, since there's no question, I can't see any hand. Okay. Wow. I hope I survive. Breathed on them. That is not the day of the Pentecost. No. We see what happened is that they were fearful. They were fearful. When he came, they were really, the event of that time was beyond man. Nobody ever saw anything like that. So they were really fearful. They were fearful so for so many things. They were fearful about the Jews. Again, they told them that the person is alive. Okay, let's ask a question. If you have somebody who died and he was buried, and somebody came and told you, we saw him in town, that will add to your fear. Am I right? And then here you are sleeping 3 a.m. Somebody is knocking. You are going to pee. Because it has never happened before. So they were dealing with novelty. We read it now and we understand. But let's not forget that it was the first time. Ever had anybody rose from the dead. And then somebody came and said, we saw him. He came to. So they were really dealing with all that. All that Jesus did was to bring an anointing on them to strengthen them at that time. But not in the measure of when the Holy Spirit now came. Exactly what God repeated in Acts chapter 4. When they were being attacked, they said, Lord, see their threatening. What did God do? He baptized them afresh with the Holy Spirit and boldness came. So what he did was kind of, you know, just like you lay hands on people. So he breathed on them so that the power of God will energize them. But that's not the baptism. Because the baptism did take place until the day of what? Pentecost. And he told them, he said, tarry here until that day. He said, when that day was fully come. And don't forget that he did the law by the power of the Holy Spirit. The power was gushing out of him. Somebody touched him. Power went out. So instead of them touching him, he breathed on them. So it's the same thing like you touch his cloth, you got healed. But now instead of them touching him, because they were looking, can this be real? So he now, to receive you the power, receive you the anointing of God. And they received it because it was by the power of God that things were happening. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Huh? Does it answer your question? Okay, what's the second one? Yeah. Came upon him. Absolutely. Absolutely. We know what? I didn't hear you. The Holy Spirit was what? Of course. Of course. Right. Mm-hmm. Of course, of course. You know, remember that the angel said that He will be born of the power of the Spirit. He said, that which you have is going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he was here like a man. If he was here like God, it would be unfair for him to tell us to do what he did. He was here like a... The Bible says he set aside everything that made him God. That was why he wept. He was hungry. He ate, you know, with them. You know, so he was here like a man. So he was showing us how we should also live. Remember, when he went for baptism, John the Baptist said, you should be baptized. And he said, no. We will do this to fulfill all the will of God, so that we teach the church that they should be baptized too. Because it's our example. So, and then the Spirit of God descended on him as a dove. But even as a child, he was walking under the power of God, because he went to the temple and bamboozled them. He bamboozled them. They were looking at him. And they said, whoa, this is 12-year-old. From where did he? He was walking under the anointing of God. But that Holy Spirit baptism was when the thing gushed like whoosh, from heaven and descended on him. And from that point on, the ministry... And it's the same thing with us. That's what he told the church. He said, don't witness until you are also baptized. It's the same Spirit upon him that comes upon you when you get baptized. And you should be able to do what he did, because again, you are not the one using the Spirit. It's the Spirit using you to do the same things. Is that clear? Any other question? Microphone. So they can hear you. So why have you not been asking questions all this way? Yeah. It's not working, right? Okay, go ahead. I will amplify what you say. Absolutely. Never dormant. Absolutely. Right from his birth, the angel said he's going to be of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will form it. And then he came not, it wasn't born of lineage of Adam. He came of the lineage of God. He was born of God right from the start. So he has the power of God working in him. But after that descendant like a dove, the Bible says he now came down in the power of the Holy Spirit. From that time, it's like wind. I mean, like fire. The thing, whoa, whoa, whoa. The ministry was all over the place. Yeah. I think we're on the same page. Are we? Did we get anything? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. The pastor can close us.